Okay, let's rock and roll. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to finish up wilderness survival. It's not really part 3. It's part 1, 2, and 3. So we're just going to do a quick review of what we've already looked at. Again, before he goes into the wilderness, he does the first 4 steps. 1, in Matthew chapter 3, he humbles himself so that he can be baptized by John. 2, he goes in the water, representing step number 2, repentance. 3, he comes out of the water, resurrection. Point something. And then 4, he's led by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now he goes into the wilderness. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We'll find out why in a minute. Well, I just don't want to tell you why. Because part of the plan. Just leave it at that. Part of the plan. The children of Israel failed in the wilderness, and God is so graceful that he gives us an example of how to make it through the wilderness. And it's part of the plan. Susan's still having some trouble. All right. Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he was fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And then the tempter came to him, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." All right, so we've talked about this. We already talked about the key word then. You got to make sure you're prepared before you go into the wilderness. Matthew 4. Be prepared before you go into the wilderness. All right? And he asked questions. The devil will ask questions to try to raise doubt in the word. What was the word? The word was, "This is my son, the beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." The devil says, "Well, if you're really your son, if God's really your father, then why is he allowing you to go through this?" So the temptation is to bring doubt to the word of God that you received. It is also designed to cause you to move out and not wait on God and take matters into your own hands. Not a good thing to do. Wish I knew that when I was a young kid. All right. And when you look at First John chapter 2, it talks about the 3 things that are in the world that tempt us, and we see them in this story. You've got the lust of the flesh, which is what this is. You've got the pride of life, and you got the lust of the eyes. So this one is the lust of the flesh. It is not a sin for him to turn the stones into biscuits. The sin is not waiting on God and being influenced by the wrong factors, i.e. the devil and your carnality, as opposed to the Spirit of God. All right? If the Lord was leading him to turn the stones into biscuits and it's going to be for God's glory, that would have been great. But if he falls for this temptation and it's such a deception, then who gets the glory? Not God. You're acting in your own strength. Thank you, son. All right. So that was basically the review. Oh, and of course, he defeats the enemy by giving him the word. All right. He comes out of Deuteronomy. What part of Deuteronomy is that again? He comes out of Deuteronomy. I want to say Deuteronomy 8. Let me look at my notes. Yes. It is Deuteronomy 8 and 3. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now notice, he did not say that bread is not important. It's not what he's saying. He's saying there's just something more important than bread. And it's God's word. He never says we should not pursue the bread. He just said, don't let pursuit of the bread be more important than the pursuit of the things of God. I need God's word more than I need the bread. God knows that I need bread too. God knows I need a donut. I forgive Jimmy. All right.
That was good.
The attack comes in the form of, yes, I need the word of God more than I need a donut. But I'm still going to get a donut on my way out of here. But anyway. All right. Wilderness survival, case study two. It's not about you. Did we go through any of this?
Wouldn't go over again if we did.
Okay, all right. So, case study two. So here's the second part of the deception. All right, verse 5. Then the devil takes him up to the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, I want you to see, we might have gone through this before, but let's make sure we got this down. Okay. Do you notice the subtle change in the attack this time? First he attacks him in the flesh. Now he's attacking him. He's changed the attack. It's almost like he's saying, oh, so you defeated me with the word of God, so you must know the Bible. Great. I know the Bible too. So here's the scriptures that I know. And he comes from Psalm 91. Except the problem is, he's using the scripture to justify not waiting on God. Can you use the scripture in such a way that you use it and apply it incorrectly? Yes. So now the devil is trying to make him feel comfortable. I know the word of God too, and the word of God says this. And logically, it does make some sense what the devil is saying here. Oh, you know the word of God? Well, if you go to the church and you really show out and put on a demonstration and a show and just throw yourself down and just kind of lightly land, because God protects you, people are going to see what you're doing and they'll follow you. A performance.
Satan's plan all from the
get-go. Well said.
Did that to Eve?
Yes, you can go to Genesis chapter 3, which is part of this, and just see exactly that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is all there in that discussion that she has with Satan. So he's been doing this from the beginning. Why? Because it works. What does that look like today? And it can happen in the church.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Chuck, I heard on James Merritt this morning that 75% of the churches in elite universities say the Bible is fables, stories, you know, that type.
75%
of in the elite universities, and across the board, a little over 50%. So, do not believe the Bible is the word of God. They believe it's stories, and, you know, fables, or whatever. And I don't question them, but I say, okay, you know, pull it out. But you know, that's what you're talking about is, unless they have a need, I don't hear from anybody.
Right. So I don't know where I got a phone call that knocked my recording out. It does that. So we'll just pick up with this. We'll keep plugging. Alright. So he takes him to the man, I can't remember how many times I went to church with the devil. Or did something in church for the wrong reasons because I wanted to be seen. I'm glad I figured it out. I was on the praise team here at this church. That's what it looks like here. I was on the praise team in this church. And I was more concerned about how I sounded than several times. How'd I sound? What do you think about that?
That's why I'm not on the praise team.
We don't want to know how you sound.
Nobody wants to know how you sound.
I know how you sound.
And, you know, and it's honest and it's innocent because it's deceptive.
Yeah.
And you don't see it. It's deceptive and you don't see it. You just don't see it. But the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention. I'm like, man, I am really missing it. But I'm out front in front of everybody. But I am missing it. So glad I could get that thing back to the heart of worship, which is all about Him. All right. Again, Jesus said, here's the other thing about this one. I've heard people use Psalm 91 the wrong way, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. I just heard people using Psalm 91 just the wrong way. And I'm like, don't you know that's the same psalm that the devil used in the temptation? You might want to be a little careful with that. Whenever I get on my motorcycle, have I used that example before? Whenever I get on my motorcycle, I always pray to the Lord. Knowing, Lord, I'm going out, bring me back in the same way I go out. Safe. And I ride out there on my motorcycle each time, which is a whole lot less safe than riding the car. And I'm listening to my praise music. I'm having a great time, and I've got blessed assurance. I fully expect that the same way I roll out of here is the same way I'm rolling back into my driveway. Let me tell you what I don't do. I don't do wheelies. It's hard to do on a touring bike anyway. I don't ride beyond my means. I don't rush through too many yellow lights. I'm careful on turns. I don't try to show out.
You don't drive when it's wet.
No, you can drive when it's wet, but I drive more carefully. And when I drive out Pike Road, I don't leave in and out of cars. And when I'm driving up Pike Road, they got all that construction up there and got the grooves in the road or whatever. They got the little motorcycle sign out there. I drop my speed from whatever, I'm not telling you what I'm doing. I drop my speed from whatever it was down a few more, you know, miles per hour or whatever. So I just want to be careful. Because I don't want to tempt God. And that doesn't mean that I have a lack of faith. And that's why I've seen people use this incorrectly. Well, just go and do anything you want to because God has His cover.
Being foolish, see. That's, this is not, I'm gonna do something stupid, but I'm covered. How much sense does that make?
And if you don't do it with me, then you don't have faith. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're one snake bite away from. Anyway, let's just keep going. So the pride of life. When we know this from our pride of life is. It's just, it'll mess you up. All right? He misuses the scripture to support what he wants Christ to do rather than using the word to meet what God intended it to do. It's a misapplication of the scriptures. Now, the other thing that's happening here is not only does he misuse the scriptures, all right? Yep, but it's relevant. It's relevant.
What I'm trying to say is, you kept saying the devil's talking to Jesus here and saying, "You know the Bible." They didn't have the Bible back then. They had the Torah or the Old Testament. Okay, you got that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for covering that. And the other thing is,
when anybody in here understood that, I didn't know if he did.
Yeah. And the other thing is clarification here. When you look at Deuteronomy 6:16. And it says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Christ left out some scriptures. But when you go back to Deuteronomy 6:16, you'll see that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God as you did back in, I think, Meribah or whatever. When the children of Israel complained and said, hey, we're having a tough time here. Is God with us or not? So it's more than just performing at church. It's more than just, you know,
going to church with the wrong attitude or whatever. It's also when you face those tough times and you look up there and you go, hey, move on my behalf. Are you with us or not? Are you dead or not? Prove it. That's what this temptation is about as well. Because now you're testing or you're tempting God. If you're really dead, then buy me this Switch game. Prove it. I should have this game. Everybody else has this game. I need this game. Prove to me that you're dead. Is God anywhere in that example? Not that he would ever do that. Do we do things like that sometimes? I'm going to make God move on my behalf by calling him out.
I don't know about that.
Hey, I might test the words down on the promises. Lord God, according to your promises, you said I'll be the head, no, not promise. The tail. So I'm standing on your promises.
Okay, yeah,
because you're the God, I'm going to wait on you. Yeah. That's one thing. But then to come back and say, hey, look, you promised this. Are you God or not?
Yeah.
A little different attitude.
Just stand on the promise. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
God gave us a brain for a reason and common sense. Just like a parent doesn't let your child go wandering out in the middle of a busy street.
Well, unless you got insurance money and you're just tired of them.
The Jews kept asking Jesus to prove miracles. And he would even raise Lazarus from the dead and things like that. And you know, they still didn't believe.
And that shows you where the heart is. And that's why God is not going to perform for us like that, because that kind of performance and meeting that kind of request still doesn't get us to where we need to be in him. Just doesn't. Good point. Pharisees are asking that. Show us a sign. I'm not going to give you a sign for a generation of vipers that, you know, just aren't going to listen in the first place. The prophets gave you a sign. Look what you did to them. All right. 15 minutes ago, Wilderness Survival, Case Study Part 3, A Scouting Report. Now you know. That's the title on this one. All right. Same background. We looked at the lust of the flesh, pride of life, and now we're looking at lust of the eyes. Here we go in verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's pretty bold. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, I've got some questions here. This is a bold move. Why? Do you see that it's a pretty bold move? Before, everything was kind of layered in a deception or a trick. This one is fairly bold. And I think when I was growing up, probably about your age, and I heard this, I heard some people say, well, you know, the devil's showing his true colors with the last one. Well, you know, maybe the devil is just frustrated and sees you can't trick him, so he's just going to come right out and just, you know, get to the point. And that may be true. But as I was looking at this yesterday, I had a different perspective.
He was acting like he owned it all.
Well?
And had it to give it away.
He did, in a way, because he's the prince of the power of the air.
But he lost.
But he lost.
He lost.
But he still has influence until Christ comes to defeat him.
Right.
He has no power.
But he's not been bound yet. So he still has influence.
Yeah, he
Yep, absolutely. And I wondered, well, did he just get frustrated and just say, well, let me just come out and tell you? And as I looked at this again, I'm like, nope, this is what I think it is. I don't think he needed to be that deceptive on this one. Because the world looks good. That was the different perspective that I had when I looked at this yesterday, as I was going through my lesson notes. Why didn't he use the same kind of cover-up camouflage on this one that he used on the other two? Because the world just looks good.
Well, here's the other thing, Chuck. One of the reasons Lucifer was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be God. He thought he was better than God.
That's the pride.
Yes. And here, I think, the reason he didn't use deception in this one, because he thought he was better than Jesus. Let me just show you what I got, and I can give it to you. Not realizing that, you know, he did realize this, but Jesus created the world.
Yeah, he knows that. But you know what? That's pretty good. What you just said is pretty good. It certainly is not going to work on Christ. But would that work on us? Say what you said again, if you remember what you said.
Me?
Yeah. That's why I said if you remember. Because
he thought he was better than Jesus.
He thought he
because
was better than
from
Jesus.
The get-go, from when he was thrown out of heaven for thinking that.
Right. So you think he was better than Jesus, and because he's better than Jesus, he can provide for us better than God can.
It's almost like, why wait when you can have it now?
Yeah. Boom! That's it.
No deferred gratification.
Yeah, that's it.
That is it. And I don't think he needed the deception. I think all of this is right. And maybe he did say, well, you know, let me just cut to the chase or whatever. All right. But I really think that when you look at all the... Now, the world is crazy. But when you look at all the things of the world... Look at what the scripture says. He takes him to a high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And that's the thing that stuck in my mind.
Glory.
There is glory in the world. There are things in the world that are majestic. There are man-made things that, hey, we'll go to the Grand Canyon, look at the Grand Canyon, see the majesty of how God, you know, created things in nature. But we'll also go see the wonders of the world that man has created in those kingdoms and those things and those skyscrapers and things of that nature. And they're magnificent, and there's a glory associated with it. And you put your eyeballs on it, and it looks good. And as I'm looking at this, I'm like, there's no need for a real deception there because it looks good. And when it looks that good, I want it. And I just wrote down some of the things that look wonderful to me in the world. There's some glorious cars out there that I would like to plop my butt in. I would love to buy some land as I was riding my motorcycle. Like, man, acres and acres of land out there. I want it. Homes. Oh, my God. Al, I wanted to move from my house to go over to the backside of, what's that, the Beverly you live in? The backside of Arrowhead.
Town Lakes.
No, and before you get to Town Lakes, but on the backside, 20 years ago, they were building up back there, putting the back end of the woods, and there's some beautiful, oh, some big houses. And I'm like, man, I want this house because I want people to see me driving out of that subdivision, and they'll know that boy is rolling. I'm seriously fucking.
All the marketing. It's all based on don't wait, get it now.
Don't wait, get it now.
Go into debt.
I want the shoes, though I'm not a big shoe thing. The clothes, though I'm not a big shopper or whatever. The friends. The influence.
Chuck, you made a good point there. I see that house when I look at curb appeals.
Curb appeal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks good.
What's on the inside?
Oh, well, it's rotten in there. And I had a realtor friend when I first moved into town. And I don't know, Norm might be, I mean, he's into it, so he knows. Norm's back there smiling like a Chester cat. He knows what's going on. Yeah.
I know why you're Al's friend, because he lives in the back area.
Norm lives behind me.
Yeah, both of you guys, you know. Yeah, when we first moved into town, one of the realtors, you know, I asked him, I said, how much money is in Montgomery that people can afford these houses?
They're in debt up to here.
And she goes, some of these folks have no furniture inside the house. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's kind of, well, here's the other thing I noticed about these three temptations, and Christ dwells on it throughout everything he talks to the disciples about, because they and all the Jewish people, they still are on the earthly plane and not looking spiritually. You know, when he took him to the look at the kingdoms, he could have just said, "This is nothing compared to the kingdom of God."
Yeah.
Which is the spiritual realm.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where took me a long time to figure that out.
So, probably a little less need for deception. Because we deceive ourselves by what we see. Now, here's some good news. For all of us that got a little something. It's good news. He never attacked. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve him only." Coming out of Deuteronomy 6:13. Notice what Jesus attacks. He doesn't attack the glory of the world or the stuff. And as I looked at this again yesterday, fresh, I'm like, God really doesn't have a problem with you having stuff. In fact, if you do this right, God will bless you with stuff. It's how you go about getting the stuff.
The love of money.
It's how. And I looked at that, I'm like, man, I did not see that before. Jesus' response to the temptations is consistent. He uses the word of God as his defense. He knows the word and he's skilled in the application of the word. And that's why this is so important. You have to know the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God, know the Word of God, and be able to apply it. You can go to school for years. And that's a good thing, because you either go to school, you learn some things, all right? But until you take what's in the school book and apply it to your life, you really won't know the experience of how it works. You have to be able to apply your intellectual assent. You can't even apply it if you don't know it. Here's the other thing, and it goes back to what Anthony said. The devil will give you something quick that is always the temptation. Why wait? You can have it now. The only problem is only what you do for Christ will last. Here's one other thing. You think Jesus knows that eventually he's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings and that every knee will bow down? You think he knows that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think he knows the plan of God for his life?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he does.
For sure. For sure.
For sure. Look at the ludicrousy of what the enemy is trying to do. Christ already knows the plan of God for his life. And the enemy says, you can get it quicker if you do it my way.
Yeah.
There's deception.
Yeah.
But Jesus knows that whatever it is you're offering me, it's only going to be temporary in the first place. And if I go after it the wrong way, I will never be able to hold on to it. I'll just wait on my Father and get it the right way. And we have to be able to understand the promises of God on our life and understand that whatever the devil is offering us that's a quick fix is going to be contrary to what God wants to do for us. I want to feel good. Well, take this drug. Do some alcohol. Go over here and do that. Now, all that is what, and all these three temptations are a way to intercept you, football term, intercept the path that God is waiting to give you. Now, I know we're professional Christians and we know all this stuff or whatever, but I wish I knew this stuff when I first got saved when I was 13. I might have been better prepared to deal with these temptations and recognize them as they come along.
It diverts you off the path.
It diverts you off the path that God has for you. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, I've got this little run here because I'm probably going to try to preach this today. You got to pray because I just got a call that Cloverdale's power is out, so I figure out how we're going to do that. So, here's what I said in my notes. Having the stuff is not the problem. Worshiping the stuff is the problem. Putting the stuff ahead of God is the problem. Worshiping others who can give you the stuff. Bad word. Rather than trusting in God is the problem. Not waiting on God and trusting in Him is the problem. How you get the stuff might be the problem if God doesn't get the glory in how you get it. And what you do to keep it.
See, and that's the part of the problem today is people have changed this term to the love of money is the root of all evil. They now say that money is the root of all evil. And it's not that.
Nope. It's where you put it in the perspective. Yep. Love not the world.
It's the lack of money the root of all evil. The lack of money.
Well, I don't know if I want to say that. Because I'd rather be saved than broke than to be rich without it.
Broke is temporary.
Yep.
Saved is eternal.
Alright. And again, I love what Anthony said, back to my notes. The devil offers him the kingdoms of the world now, no waiting. But Jesus already knows the plan of God and that in time he would be King of Kings. Again, the temptation is to not wait or trust in God and move out on your own. All right. So,
what did the devil do to Eve in the garden?
Same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you sign down, Susan, Paul said the same thing. Same three things. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life.
Yep.
I want you to see the scriptures here. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Oh, worshiping is 1P. Where'd you see that at?
Never mind.
I'll find it. All right. Let me try to find something. I'm out of time, but I want to show you something here quickly. I noticed something when I I'm going to show you something here. So let me go here and
share. Thank you, son. And share my screen again. I call this a scouting report because I know how the story is supposed to end. Kind of like that track meet that I was telling you about. And I'm like, I read the newspaper, found out what that other school was running. I'm like, yeah. Maybe if you're in wrestling and I see somebody in the 125, what are you, 125? Yeah, in the 125 pound, when I'm watching that school, and I saw that guy just got pinned in like whatever. I'm like, yeah, so now you coming to my school? Yeah, I know how this is going to turn out. Because the guy that pinned you, I beat easily. You might be a whooped. I know how the story ends. And as I'm looking at this, I realize I've forgotten a lot of stuff. But look at Jesus' baptism and the steps. Because, you know, the steps are off to the side. What's the first thing that has to happen? One, humble submission. That's Passover. Mm-hmm. Unleavened bread, step number two, represents the burial. Mm-hmm. Jesus is baptized. Step number three, first fruit, resurrection. Step number four, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes down on him. I got to do this quick because I got rid. Amen. There's a gap. The summer. Guess what the gap represents? That wilderness that we have to go through before we get to the next step, before we start the ministry. What are we doing right now as the church? We're waiting on the rapture. Right. What is Christ doing the whole time that he's in this wilderness being tempted by Satan? He's waiting. What's the enemy trying to get him to do? Exactly what Anthony said. Stop waiting and trusting on God as you're going through the wilderness. And yet, we as a church and we as believers, we are waiting on the second coming of Christ. We're not on the second coming, on the coming. We're waiting on the rapture. We're waiting for God to pull us out of this situation. The sixth feast, Day of Atonement. That is the feast and the appointment time where God comes down on the earth and he defeats the enemy. Did Christ defeat the enemy in the wilderness through the word of God?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And then step number seven, tabernacles. The reign of Christ, peace, restoration. Feast number seven, tabernacles, is when the kingdom comes down to earth, Christ reigns, there's peace in the world, and the enemy is defeated. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness follows the seven steps. That leads me to leave you with this. The wilderness temptation that Christ faced, that the children of Israel faced, and that you and I face right now as we're waiting on God, is part of the plan of God. And if we wait on him, victory comes and refreshing relief comes while we're still in the wilderness waiting for him to fulfill these last three for real. I don't get that concerned anymore when I'm going through stuff. Guess why? Part of the plan. Just like that track meet, guess what? I know how this ends. I know how this ends if I stick to the plan. We win.
You know how it wins, but you still have to work.
Still got to work.
Oh, yeah.
Still got to wait. Still got to understand the word.
Well,
still got to apply the word.
That's right. Got to work on your faith.
But if I don't punk out, and if I don't get scared, If I keep trusting in him, standing on the promises of Christ, my King, we win.
Amen. He is refining you and me and all of us through the refiner's fire.
So, when you're going through, just realize part of the plan.
Chuck, what was this on the podcast that you just showed us? The
podcast? What's on the podcast?
The 7 steps you just showed us. The baptism?
Yeah.
Where's that on that podcast?
Oh, it's on the on the website.
I know it's on the website. What section is it on?
On the Bible study notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I need to tell Carol she wants to copy this. Like
Yeah, you can download it. And, that's where it is.
Okay.
I got to go. Any questions, thoughts?
Well, what I'm trying to get at, when you say waiting on God,
No, I'm training. Absolutely. I'm not laying in a hammock. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still praying spiritually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to come to Bible study. You got to pick up your Bible. You got to have your quiet time. You got to work the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to.
A lot of people don't like to read the Bible. So when they go to church, they just take what the preacher says.
Yeah.
Sometimes the preacher throws some good words and then he gets to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, John.
I gotta go.